of movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin
103.8. So we are just out of the screening of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Rory Cashin and Brian Lloyd are here with me. Still just trying to take it in. By God, it's such a massive film, Brian. So can you do your best, in a nutshell, tell us what is going on with the story?
It's set just before A New Hope. A group of rebels led by Felicity Jones go on a desperate mission to get the plans for the Death Star and try to deliver them to Princess Leia. It's all about, I suppose, them. Literally, that's it. I mean, it's them just trying to get the Death Star plans off of this highly secured planet that is controlled by Ben Mendelsohn.
Rory, a lot of expectation for this movie because we've heard some rumblings behind the scenes with Gareth Edwards, the director, and then Tony Gilroy, another acclaimed filmmaker, having to come on board and just fix a little few things, especially when it came to the third act. So there was a little bit of worry. Would they get this right, bearing in mind how well The Force Awakens went down? Having watched the film, I've got to say, this one really harkened back to the likes of Empire Strikes Back for me, with a little touch of Saving Private Ryan. This is a proper war movie. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I would agree with you. The start of it, I thought, was kind of messy because it kept jumping from planet to planet and it felt like we weren't settling anywhere for too long. And it took a good 30 minutes before I was like, okay, here's who everyone is and that this is the plot that they're finally put together. It felt like it was over an hour before we got to the point where, you know, she was looking for the Death Star plans. We kind of all knew that going in anyway. So it spent most of its time setting up these characters who, if you're aware of the Star Wars films anyway, we never see again. So there's a good chance it's not going to end well for the people we're just about to get to know here. And yeah, it's time well spent and like intelligently spent investing in some characters who don't show up in A New Hope. But maybe, is there a reason why? I'm not going to tell you. It's up for you to go see it.
Now, even with that beginning, Brian, that Roy picked up on, I like the way that it just spent time building up those characters, almost marinating them a little bit so like you become invested in them. It's one of those films, there's a lot of information also to take in. Do you think that could be a little bit of a problem for people?
Maybe, yeah. For all the information that was kind of twirling around, and there was a lot, I didn't at any point think, okay, well, hang on, where am I? That never happened. Like, there really was a good, strong sense of place. Rory is right, though. It did jump a lot in the first kind of 20 minutes to half an hour, but eventually, you know, it hit its stride, it got into the rhythm, and then we found it, and then it was great. You know, I mean, we were saying this off air, like, the biggest thing you could take away from this film is the sense of scale. That was the one thing that really struck me about this film. And, like, Gareth Edwards, like, he's such a command of it, like, and you look at the Death Star, and it looks terrifying. Like, it looks, like, you can see it just bearing down on top of this planet, and it looks frightening. And the sound design as well, when the thing actually fires, you can feel it, like, you can feel the whole cinema rumble with it. Now, we saw it in IMAX 3D, but I would imagine the effect is the same in any cinema you go to see it in, you know?
What did you think, Rory, of some of the themes that are present in the movie? Bearing in mind what is going on in the world these days, for me, it's all about hope. Like, hope is the big thing and that you need to have that.
Yeah, like, it is really setting itself up for, you know, leading into A New Hope, because the word hope, I think, is used more than just about any other word in the film. I really enjoyed how kind of down and dirty they made the rebellion scene, because previously, you know, everyone was kind of Luke Skywalker. We had obviously Han Solo, who was the lovable rogue, but in this, like, we have Diego Luna, who has done some very questionable things for the sake of you know, a good cause. And it kind of like, how dark do you have to get before you become one of the bad guys yourself? And then there was obviously a very strong Nazi parable going on, parallel going on, because it's, you know, or just following orders actually came up in the film, and I was like, oh, that's very on the nose. And then you've got this genius scientist who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, who has been kind of taken in to create the Death Star. That as well, you can almost see kind of parallels to whomever it was who created the atomic bomb, and then looking back and going, oh, what have I done? I've done a terrible thing. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Like, so there's some very like highbrow stuff going on, and it more so than I've seen in any previous Star Wars film. But yeah, it is probably like the grittiest Star Wars to date. Even there's some of the scenes really early on where you see young Felicity Jones obviously not played by Felicity Jones, but like the scenes where her parents and everyone has like dirt under their fingernails and stuff, and I was like, it got down to the nitty gritty levels of like dirt that I haven't previously seen in the Star Wars film. I was like, okay, this is where we are, and it was good to see that kind of different approach to it.
Having seen the film now, you think, God, if only the prequels had been like this particular one, because you could feel the love that Gareth Edwards, the director, had for Star Wars. Every shot, he just so was invested in this. Talk to me now, Brian, about some of the performances in there. We've mentioned Felicity, we've mentioned Diego, who are sort of leading the charge when it comes to the band of rebels that go on this mission to find the plans for the Death Star. But some of the other supporting characters, like Donnie Yen and Alan Tudyk, who plays the droid K2SO, I thought they were absolute standouts.
Yeah, absolutely. Donnie Yen and Alan Tudyk, like, I mean, they really did run away with it. And the interplay between Jian Wang, who plays Baze Malbus, and Chirrut Unwe, who plays played by Donnie Yen, it was real kind of like gruff but lovable, you know, that kind of way. As in, like, they kind of like are antagonistic towards each other, but they still believe in each other. Yeah, like K2SO, like, I mean, there were so many funny moments with him, and it didn't feel like it was, you know, tacked on for the sake of like, oh, we've got to make a funny scene. It was real, just like, no, this is what he would actually do. Like, there's a bit where like a bag is shoved in his hand and he just like drops it and walks away, because like, why am I holding this bag? This bag has nothing to do with me. He just dumps it, like, and it, again, it makes sense. Like, I thought the weak link, as it were, I think, was Diego Luna, believe it or not. I thought he was a bit of a wet blanket. I don't think he had kind of much to do or much to say with it, but I think that was because, like, it's Felicity Jones' film, you know, that kind of way. Like, it's meant to be her.
Do you think, though, at the same time as well, Brian, that if he had been a bit more, say, of a man's man type of figure, that people wouldn't go, oh, they're just trying to turn him into Han Solo?
I think more kind of, if they had made a bigger character and a bigger kind of splash with this guy, it would have detracted from her. And yeah, you're right, there definitely would have been a case of people saying, oh, they're just trying to make another Han Solo, and you can't do that, like. Because obviously, you know, they've got the Han Solo standalone film to come along as well. But I mean, I'm nitpicking now. I mean, Ben Mendelsohn was great in it. Like, you could see that real kind of like grit and anger and frustration that comes out of him. Mads Mikkelsen as well. He's not in it all that much, but when he is in it, he does have an impact. Forest Whitaker was brilliant. Forest Whitaker was terrifying in this. Like, he really had, like, you could see that sense of fanaticism. And there's a brilliant scene between him, Riz Ahmed, and this creature that as I was watching, I was like, this is like, are we still watching the Star Wars film? Because this is getting kind of into horror territory, like, you know, that kind of way.
Rory, Darth Vader shows up. Yeah. They haven't hidden that fact by any means in the trailers that we've seen. And I think, to be honest with you, they shouldn't really reveal too much of Darth Vader, especially in the last trailer. God, they went all out to let you know he's definitely going to be in it. Yeah. So when you do see him on screen, what did you think of that impact?
It was fine. I would have rather he wasn't in it, to be honest. I think he was surplus to requirements. And then there's a few other like just niggly bits. I was just like, that wasn't necessary. Like, there's a lot of foreshadowing. There's a lot of like, get that, fans. Star Wars, did you get that reference? Did you? Because I know you love your references. And it was just like, it's fine. Just leave. Just tell the film you want to tell, and then just like, you can stop, you know, poking us in the ribs with references to stuff that's gonna come. But having said that, there is a great one at the end of the film, which I was like, okay, you've earned that one, and I'll allow it. But as far as Vader goes, yeah, I think it was just a bit over the top.
Right, gentlemen, let's get scores out of 10 for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Brian, did it do it for you?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. I give it a strong 8 out of 10. I mean, there are problems with it. Rory mentioned one of them, the whole Polar Express thing. Very distracting. Ben Mendelsohn definitely wasn't given a chance to shine. But no, I mean, like, it hit the notes. It had an emotional texture to it. You know, the music was fantastic. The sense of scale and place and realism was fantastic. The grit was great. It's like Star Wars, but war is underlined, you know, that kind of way. And that's what we have wanted for quite a while, I think.
And also, I think it's a mature Star Wars movie. This one feels like it's been really aimed at people that grew up with the original trilogy, as opposed to those that really only got into it when the prequels were released. This feels like this is a real adult Star Wars film. Rory, I know out of the three of us, you wouldn't be the biggest of Star Wars fans, so you can come at this a bit more objectionably. So what did you think out of 10?
7 out of 10. I think a lot of the cast were great. I think there might have actually been too many of them at one point, just to keep up with. Some of the action was fantastic, but I felt it saved an awful lot of it for the last 40 minutes. When there could have been like at least one or two more like big set pieces for us to enjoy. But on the plus side, it's by far and away the highest IQ of any Star Wars film I've seen, and there's going to be a lot of... I'm looking forward to Brian's think piece coming up eventually on all the different things to read into from Rogue One.
Great stuff. Okay. And for me, I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10. Loved it. Ben Mendelsohn, I just thought his character arc, they could have done an awful lot more with that to really make him the strong villain of the piece. But overall, I think Star Wars fans should be very, very satisfied. Gentlemen, thank you so much for that.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden. Spin 103.8.